The Listening Room is a place that is timeless and a place where you can hear and see a picture, a set built and created in your mind. It begins with a story, an audio journal. Hi, everybody. I'm Richard Beatty. You're invited to the Listening Room. Audio Journal, March 2nd, 2024. When I started in communications, I was a child actor in 1970. At 12 years old, communications was simple. My life was like many other children growing up in Long Island, New York. I was in the sixth grade in 1969, and that was the 1969 through 1970 school year. I watched the New York Mets, my New York Mets, in a pennant race. And my friends and I would play baseball from dawn to dusk. By that September, I helped my friend Eddie Curcio deliver newspapers and the Long Island Press. I started sixth grade in an experimental team teaching modular at Idlehour Elementary School and started to get ready for flag football by catching passes in the schoolyard. There was one day I caught a high pass, and it was in late September of 1969. I could see that I was in the end zone because the end zone was the blacktop. I held on to that pass, coming down on my left wrist. That day, the day I broke my wrist, the policy was to go to the school nurse. When it was obvious I needed more than the school nurse could give me, the nurse filled out an accident report, and I held the phone receiver on my left shoulder, and I dialed the rotary phone with my right hand index finger. The first rule of communication then was memorizing your phone number, your home phone number. It was 567-0721. Hi, Mom. It's Rich. What happened, Rich? Did you forget your homework or something? Oh, I was playing football before school, and I fell on my wrist. I can't move it. Everyone says it's broken. I'll be right there. Mom arrives within 10 minutes. We're heading to Southside Hospital. They x-ray the wrist and send us to a doctor in West Islip. His name is O'Malley. We get to the doctor's office off of Montauk Highway. They put us in a room. The door swings open. And there's a balding man with a very angry face. He looks at me. He looks at my mother. And then he grabs my left arm. And he roughs me up. And it hurts like, well, you know. And he leaves the room. What was that about? I asked Mom. He reset your wrist. Who was he? I think it was O'Malley. Communications rule number two, when you have to do something hard, don't talk, just do it. It's the least path to resistance. 5 minutes later, Dr. O'Malley is in the room again, much calmer and much friendlier. I'm sending you back to Southside and they'll put a cast on your wrist. He shows us the x-ray and I can see the break, but I held on to the ball. O'Malley asks if I am on the Connect swim team. I tell him I am, and I tell him what strokes I swim. He says, I know. My son is your age. He swims against you. I can go home and tell him. He won't worry about you this season. Communications rule number three. Trash talk is only as good as the situation.
Good morning. So happy. My love and me as we sing our early morning singing song. Flitty, glip, glippy, nippy.
Regarding today's rules of communication in 2024, number one, someone would have texted Mom and she would have been there before I even got to the nurse's office. And number two, Dr. O'Malley would have been required by law to tell me exactly what he would have to do to reset my wrist, and I would have had to sign some sort of legal waiver. Now this.
Was brought to you by the New York Mets and Borden Incorporated. When you shop at your favorite neighborhood store, be sure to look for these fine Borden food products. Old London Cheese Doodles, the cheesier snack. America's favorite corn puff. Dipsy Doodles, the rippled, crunchier corn chip. Drake Bakeries, makers of Yankee Doodles, Devil Dogs, Cream Cups, Ring Dings, Coffee Cake, and other fine products. Borden's Swiss-style yogurt. The only yogurt with the real juicy pieces of fruit blended all the way through. The yogurt served in the Met locker room all season long. Remember, if it's Borden, it's better.
Almost anything you can imagine, you can charge with the manufacturer's Hanover Master Charge Card. The new family style charge card from manufacturers Hanover Trust.
Okay, so I go to the doctor and he asks me, how long have you had this problem? All my life. He looked alarmed. You've been seeing spots? No, doctor. All my life. I've been hearing spots. 1 minute spots, 30 second spots, really well written spots. I hear spots that get results. They are very good spots. And then he looked into my ears and he asked me, do you know the legend of the spotted rabbit? The spotted rabbit has never been seen except for a well-defined spot on his back. And yet only people who are tuned into a frequency. I admitted to the doctor that I do hear the spotted rabbit. Will it ever go away? No, replied the doctor. Unless you lose your imagination. Spotted rabbit. Creative, productive spots that get results. Email paidtothinkradio@gmail.com. Have you ever lost your voice? Then, was there anyone who helped you find your new voice? In 1972, I lost and found my singing voice, my speaking voice, and my acting voice. It was the summer at Jones Beach Theater. I was playing Louie in The King and I. At the audition, my voice was high, crisp, clear. But by the time opening night came around, my voice was low, soft. A new instrument sprung into action in front of 8,000 people and the New York Times, who made note of the bass among boy sopranos. Guy Lombardo, the producer and band leader, called special rehearsals for me, Constance Towers, who played Anna, and John Cullum, who played the King. They were all very supportive, but it was a man from the chorus who directed the children who helped me find my voice.
Lucifer Unbound, a medieval yarn by Longfellow, the golden legend, unraveled, respun, and told by Donald Myers.
It was Donald Meyer who coached me. He encouraged me and he inspired me to phrase and sing and launch my songwriting career on West 82nd Street in a walk-up brownstone apartment. I studied with Don Myers. We all need coaches. We all need mentors. And we all need to give thanks to those who gave so much to us. I was born about 15 years too late. I grew up about 15 years too soon. And for some reason, I was born just at the right time. Hi, everybody. It's Richard Beatty. I would play the part as a protective son to Constance Towers, Anna. Connie was to deal with an unruly hoop skirt and with the outdoor elements of Jones Beach and its waterways, pontoon stages, and wind, the percentages that Miss Towers would wind up in the drink had a high probability. Louie would be charged with escorting his mother in scenes that they played together. There were scenes that were played more grown up, and Louie became a confidant of his mother, Anna. In addition, Louie had some great scenes with Prince Chula Longhorn, played by Kenan Shimizu, who was 16 that year. Kenan and I played those scenes with intensity. We became dressing roommates and great friends that summer. He was almost 2 years older than me and studied voice with Bob Montiel, Don Myers as well. There was little cause for alarm regarding my voice change, and then came opening night, June 28, 1972. It was told to me later that two critics, one from the New York Times and the other from Variety, came to opening night together, sat together in the press box, and left together in the same car. Both critics had written about a boy who sang at Westbury Music Fair in the Christmas opera, Amahl and the Night Visitors. Both raved about the performance of Colin Duffy. Indeed, he had a powerful performance that I attended at Westbury. Both critics also mentioned that Duffy was an obvious choice to be cast in Guy Lombardo's Jones Beach Theater revival of The King and I. They took their frustration out on Richard Arnold Beatty. Constance Towers, John Cullum, and others wisely said, "Never read your reviews. Bad ones and good ones are known to ruin actors." These reviews were vicious. I don't know any kid who had to go through puberty and all the benefits of it in such a public way. There was talk that I would be fired and replaced. Both reviews hit the newsstands the morning of July 1st, 1972. That was also my 14th birthday. That evening, when I got to the theater, John Fernley was waiting for me. "Richard, I am so sorry." He had tears in his eyes. When I realized that he was not going to fire me, I said, "Mr. Fernley, they, the critics, were just doing their job. I just have to do a better job every night." Guy Lombardo called special rehearsals for a few days with Fernley, Connie Towers, as well as Arnold Spector and me. I had heard that Connie and John Fernley saved my job. That's love. I challenged myself that summer to measure my performances at curtain calls. Each night, the applause was bigger. Patricia Arnell and John Stewart, who played Tupton and her ill-fated lover, Loon Ta, were after me at curtain call. They would be in on my measurement game. Patricia would grab my arms and let me go right as I ran out to take my bow. On closing night, Labor Day 1972, I was walking out at Jones Beach Theater for the last time. John Fernley called out, "Richard, I have someone I would like you to meet." It was Richard Rodgers, the great composer of the musicals of Broadway. "Richard, we were waiting for you to come out. I just wanted to say that playing Louis as an older boy was a great approach to the role. I wanted to thank you for that refreshing approach. It was obvious that you were there to take care of your mother and protect her. Now that you are no longer a child actor, what are you going to do?" "Mr. Rodgers, I always wanted to write music and lyrics, like you." He shook my hand and said, "Well, we need good songwriters, young man." He smiled, and John Fernley smiled like a proud dad. "Good night, Richard." At Christmas 1972, I received a Christmas card from John Fernley with a personal note. "Richard, what a man you've become. You should have been allowed to be a boy for a little longer. But what a good man you are. I was born 15 years too late for Greenwich Village, 15 years too soon for Broadway, and just the right time to find my voice."
Soon you'll be able to walk into your Admiral dealer's store and confidently buy the style radio or radio phonograph you want. The selection of Admiral radios will be complete. There'll be radio phonographs with the famous Admiral exclusive features, slide away that makes loading and unloading your record changer so easy, and the foolproof Admiral automatic record changer. There'll be consoles and table models and newly designed cabinets of fine woods and modern plastics. There'll be farm sets and portables and many styles and sizes, including the popular Admiral Bantam, the camera-type radio that operates on alternating current, direct current, or self-contained batteries. There'll be new electronic refinements and AM, FM, and shortwave reception. And now about television. Admiral's extensive research assures television receivers with true Admiral quality. So, whatever you want in radio, you'll find it in an Admiral, America's smart set. You can get a very good idea of what Admiral will offer if you're right for a free copy of the new full-colored booklet entitled It's a Promise from Admiral. Just write your name and address on a penny postcard and mail it to Admiral in care of this radio station. That's all. Just your name and address mailed to Admiral at this station.
Prisoners of the heart, in search of love and peace, hung in desperation, longing for release. I'm just a traveler, angel, you're my ride. Take me past the place I've passed, the last time that I died. Angel, spread your wings, I want to fly away with you. Take me in your arms, I know you're dying to fly. Angel comes into my room, it's dark and so is she. Wants to know if she can take me soaring out to sea. Lying in her darkness like a child awaiting birth, angel comes and takes me for everything I'm worth. Spread your wings, I want to fly away with you. Take me in your arms, I know you're dying to fly. Thank you.
I was driving home from my hometown during the holiday weekend. My family was sleeping in the car. I had the radio turned off, so my mind was thinking. My name is Richard Beatty. I get paid to think. I was watching as cars careened around me at 90 miles per hour, or in some cases more. They were going in and out of the express lane, or as I call it, the Autobahn. At first, I was multiplying how much revenue the state would make in video fines. And then I decided to change my attention to bumper stickers. Years ago, I wrote a column on bumper stickers and what they say about the person driving the car. I began to count the cars that were passing me on my left and right. The first 62 cars had no bumper stickers at all. Then a ragged RAV4 had two stickers. The first was like a Colorado license plate with the word native. The other looked like an insurance logo. So I made a mental note and resumed counting. And in the end, I tallied over 1,200 cars and counted 7 bumper stickers. This may alarm our friends at Sticker Mule, but maybe not. I wondered how many drivers a day listen to the radio, music, podcast, or an audiobook. Years ago, there was a rash of radios being stolen from New York City cars. There's also a number of bumper stickers that read, "No radio in car." That alarmed many broadcasters. I admit I am not a buyer of bumper stickers. I know people who have had their cars damaged and vandalized because they wore their political leanings on their bumpers. What does the decrease in bumper stickers tell us about our culture? I think it's like the polls. People are fearful of being canceled if they show their affiliations to a team, a party, a religion, or a nationality. We have become macro and megaphobiacs in a world where stigmas of common decency have become extinct. And surveys and polls have run amok of dishonest and fearful numbers that are inaccurate snapshots of who really wins. And until we refuse being intimidated, the erosion of hope, peace, love, and joy will continue to be sandblasted from our hearts, minds, and car bumpers. I'm Richard Beatty. Email your thoughts, paidtothink@gmail.com. That's paidtothink@gmail.com. An open letter to comedians. A fireside chat. Dear fellow comedy writers, it is time that we put aside our differences and begin to look at what we write, what we say, and what we sing. Maybe we should examine what we laugh at and who we laugh at. I am calling on a 12-week ceasefire of mean-spirited tear-down jokes, cheap gags, whoopee cushion, and bodily function sophomoric personal physical and sight gag comedy. It is time to put our clown noses down and to practice kinder comedy, not necessarily gentler. We have nothing to fear but redundancy. For more, email soundcenturyoriginals@gmail.com. That's soundcenturyoriginals@gmail.com. Now, fella, not so close to the fire. Hi, everybody. This is Richard Beatty. All my life, I love to paint scenarios with words. Thinking back on all of those time capsules and what we put into them, think about this. There's the Declaration of Independence, letters from soldiers in World War II, and a mixtape, a cassette tape. You can see the reaction of the receiver. You know, you can imagine 100, 200 years from now. Oh, yes. The founding humans. The letters from combat. I get it. And what's this? What the hell are we going to play it on? Antiques Roadshow Gone Bad. I think we'll do some bumper stickers that read, "Digitize now." I think a first step to audio learning
is to be a traveling listening room and studio out to the schools, churches, and community centers with music publishing, recording arts, and concerts, Broadway and movie soundtracks. Can you imagine that? A portable, movable feast for the ears. If you like those ideas, please email us at soundcenturyoriginals@gmail.com. That's soundcenturyoriginals@gmail.com.
Something's humming somewhere.
Be well satisfied, tickled too. Sugar, just know I'm in love with you. Even though I'm satisfied and tickled too, sugar, just know I'm in love with you. Baby, you know I've been great girl, she been. Well, Larry, here in city, Larry Rooster. Rooster, don't come round my chicken shack as much as you used to, Rooster. I ain't bad. I ain't bad. Great girls, you been. Mama, I'm going downtown. My head caved in. Come back home now. Be with a pocket full of tea. Baby, you know I'm going downtown. With my head caved in. Well, now mama, coming back home now. Be with a pocket full of tea. No, man, I bet I haven't been. Great girl, she been. I've been satisfied, take a two. Baby, just know that I'm in love with you. Baby, no, I've been. Great girl, she been. I'm all satisfied. I've been satisfied and tickled to wow. Baby, just I know that I'm in love with you. Deep no I've been. Great girl, you been. Thank you.
tell me, mama, how can it be? You killed my father on the first degree. Children, won't you just hold your breath? I'll draw another thing from your father, dead, your father.
You see, folk music is something that really doesn't belong up on the stage. This is the kind of music which ordinary working people made up in homes and kitchens, back porches, fields, and workshops. And all too often you put it on a stage and you rob it of whatever you like tonight. So if I could do anything tonight to get rid of the idea that I'm up here and you're down there, that's fine with me. Come to think of it, no good way to start. And the actual songs will be like when you get married. Something old, something new, something borrowed, and something blue. Let's see what happens. I'll get my fingers warmed up on a real old one that some of you may have heard 1,000 times. It's always good for 1,001st.
John Henry was a little baby, sitting on his papa's knee. Well, he picks up a hammer and a little piece of steel. Cried, a hammer's gonna be the death of me, Lord, Lord. Hammer's gonna be the death of me. Now the captain, he said to John Henry, I'm gonna bring me a steam drill around. I'm gonna bring a steam drill out on the job. I'm gonna whop that steel on down, down, down. Whop that steel on down. I'm gonna whop that steel on. Whop that steel on. John Henry told his captain, Lord, a man ain't nothing but a man. But before I'd let your steam drill beat me down, I'd die with a hammer in my hand. I would die with a hammer in my hand. I would die with a hammer in my hand. I would die with a hammer in my hand. Now the man that invented the steam drill, he thought he was mighty fine. But John Henry drove 15 feet and the steam drill only made 9. Lord, Lord, steam drill only made 9. I said the steam drill only made. I said the steam drill only made. John Henry hammered in the mountain. His hammer was striking fire. But he worked so hard it broke his poor heart. And he laid down his hammer and he died. He laid down his hammer and he laid down his hammer and he laid down his hammer and he died. John Henry had a little woman, her name was Polly Ann. John Henry took sick and he went to his bed, and Polly Ann drove steel like a man, Lord, Lord. Polly Ann drove steel like a man. I said, Polly Ann drove steel like a man. I said, Polly Ann drove steel like a man. So every Monday morning, when Bluebird began to sing, you can hear John Henry a mile or more. You can hear John Henry's hammer ring. You can hear John Henry's hammer. You can hear John Henry's hammer. You can hear John Henry's hammer ring.
You're listening to The Listening Room. I'm Richard Beatty. Hey, just to let you know, those last three songs are exclusives from The Listening Room and the Sound Century Collection of the Denver Folklore Center. And also, the last song you heard, John Henry, was recorded in 1957 at Dartmouth University. Before that, Furry Lewis made his only appearance at the Denver Folklore Center in the early 70s, and that was quite the education of what Delta Blues really sounded like. And before that, you had Taj Mahal. That was in 1976 at the Denver Folklore Center. The background you're hearing right now is David Metch playing harmonica to a song that I wrote. I'm playing guitar on it, called Heartscrabble, and that's going to be re-released in the coming weeks on The Listening Room. Hello, everyone. It's Richard Arnold Beatty, and it's wonderful to share with you all today and to create and to recreate the sound, the voices, instruments, and a library of sounds. There is no better way to really build and create a set from your own mind and your imagination. Whether it's story, useful images that convey your thoughts or feelings, or a collaboration in a conversation about a song, the memory of tastes of food or a drink from a time when you first heard the song, or a concert you went to and who you were with, a song you learn how to play, and you know exactly the feel of the guitar on steel strings. The Listening Room is quintessential creative studios. For more, email soundcenturyoriginals@gmail.com. Sign up for the Listening Room catalog and find out about getting full access to the Listening Room library. Go to soundcenturyoriginals@gmail.com. That's soundcenturyoriginals@gmail.com. Now this.
Soon you'll be able to walk into your Admiral dealer's store and confidently buy the style radio or radio phonograph you want. The selection of Admiral radios will be complete. There'll be radio phonographs with the famous Admiral exclusive features, slide away that makes loading and unloading your record changer so easy, and the foolproof Admiral automatic record changer. There'll be consoles and table models and newly designed cabinets of fine woods and modern plastics. There'll be farm sets and portables in many styles and sizes, including the popular Admiral Bantam, the camera-type radio that operates on alternating current, direct current, or self-contained batteries. There'll be new electronic refinements and AM, FM, and shortwave reception. And now about television. Admiral's extensive research assures television receivers with true Admiral quality. So, whatever you want in radio, you'll find it in an Admiral, America's smart set. You can get a very good idea of what Admiral will offer if you're right for a free copy of the new full-colored booklet entitled It's a Promise from Admiral. Just write your name and address on a penny postcard and mail it to Admiral in care of this radio station. That's all. Just your name and address mailed to Admiral at this station.
And now, another episode of Letters from Lincoln. Letters from Lincoln, found in the Resolute Desk, where Lincoln was thinking, oh, of ways that he could take a deep breath. We all could learn a lesson or not, sending what we write, addressing our grievances, and not starting another fight. I don't mind being wrong, I don't always need to be right, but I don't need to hit send on everything that I write. Letters from Lincoln that Lincoln never sent. He wrote them, I'm thinking, so he could only vent. Letters from Lincoln. Notes in a bottle, number one. I don't know exactly where I am, but aside from the fact that there's no food and just salt water, it's not as much of a paradise as it may seem. Exile is weird. I was taking the world by storm, but the world was taking me by a storm, and rounder than I thought the world was. If you found it's totally unbelievable, if you find this bottle and you come looking, please don't waste no time. I can see storm clouds over the horizon. Thanking you in advance, Donald J. Trump.
Never lost a faith, it seems. Imprisoned for not giving in, Then there was his dreams, but he never said an unkind thing about his jealous brothers. Could you or I imagine that? Can we forgive each other? And the dreamers dream and watch, and the dream moves on, why not? Interpretation, prophecy is the dreamers who fulfill God's dreams. It's the dreamers who pursue God's dreams. In a march upon D.C., a peaceful man spoke with us about equality. And no, he never said an unkind thing about his jealous brothers. Could you or I imagine that? Will we forgive each other? And the dreamers dream and watch, and the dream marches on, why not? Interpretation, prophecy is the dreamers who pursue, the dreamers like me and you, it's the dreamers who pursue God's dream. Well, God has a dream for all of us, a dream for you and me. By living the dream he's giving you, he will make it reality. Some men dream of things the way they are, and some are always asking why. It's the dreamers who ask, why not? And the dreamers dream and watch, and the dream moves on, why not? Interpretation, prophecy, it's the dreamers who pursue, the dreamers like me and you, the dreamers who pursue God's dream.
News Today, brought to you by Admiral Corporation, in behalf of Admiral distributors and dealers all over America and in many foreign lands. By shortwave broadcast, direct from important overseas stations and leading news centers in our own country, CBS reporters are waiting to bring you first-hand news from the world's political and battlefronts. Now, here's Douglas Edwards.
The American First Army has gained 3 miles on the northern flank of the Belgian Bulge and has cut one of the two main roads supplying the Germans on that front. To the south, the enemy is increasing pressure on the American 7th Army. A large force of Allied bombers based in Britain attacked German communications today. The Russians say they hold about two-fifths of Budapest. And in the Pacific, the Japanese say Allied warships are shelling the coast of Luzon and that a strong convoy has entered Lingayen Gulf. Observers at Pearl Harbor are awaiting news of possible further American blows in the Pacific. And now, news from Supreme Allied Headquarters. Admiral takes you direct to Paris, Charles Collingwood reporting.
The most dramatic events on the Western Front are now occurring along the Rhine in Alsace. In this section of Europe, which has for so long been disputed by both France and Germany, questions of prestige and tradition count for quite as much as strategic considerations. The Germans have come across the Rhine in a spectacular fashion to establish themselves a few miles north of Strasbourg, and the whole French nation has its eye on that corner of the front. They are worried. Up to this morning, we had been led to believe that the German battalion which had crossed the Rhine was not much more than a raiding party. One day's rations they had, we were told, and that they were almost cleared up. Now it appears that not only do the Germans still hold most of the towns they originally entered, but they have reinforced and landed armor and motor transport. American pilots bombing German motor transport in this area put them as close as 7 miles to Strasbourg. The weary Alsatians are once more taking to the roads as the war threatens to sweep over their homes again. There is an exodus from Strasbourg and Haguenau. And south of Strasbourg, in the Colmar pocket, the Germans have also landed tanks, and today 15 of them were attacking north toward Strasbourg. None of this is on a big scale, but it is having its effect on the French. In the Ardennes salient, where a much larger and more significant action is taking place, we have advanced in the north to cut the main east-west road in the northern half of the salient. This is Charles Collingwood in Paris, returning you to Admiral in New York.
That was a broadcast by Charles Collingwood, direct from Supreme Allied Headquarters. And now for more news from overseas, Admiral switches back again across the Atlantic, this time to CBS London, Richard C. Hotelet reporting.
The air offensive against the rear of the German armies in the west was kept going today by the United States 8th Air Force. More than 1,000 liberators in flying fortresses droned out from their bases in England this morning, picked up an escort of 650 fighters, and then split up over western Germany to bomb communications targets up and down the Rhine behind the western front. Two of the forces struck at the railroad yards of Neuss, just west of Dusseldorf, and at Hanau, near Frankfurt on Main, which had been plastered by strong forces of RAF bombers last night. This is not a waste of bombs, nor is it at all an indication that previous bombing was not accurate. These points are vital railheads feeding von Rundstedt's forces at the front, and the enemy has organized special commandos for the high-speed repair of rail damage. The American bombing this morning came while these crews were hard at work, and not only did more damage to the physical installations, but dislocated the repair machinery. Apart from these points, the American heavies bombed two Rhine bridges and also two other rail yards southwest of Karlsruhe that the enemy uses to supply his troops on our 7th Army front. One thing this air war had in common with the fighting on the ground was its cold. The bombers flew through temperatures of 50 degrees below. And on the ground, the whole front is in the grip of bitter cold tonight that numbs men's fingers and freezes their faces. When they're not fighting through German roadblocks and minefields, our men look around for shelter. A clump of woods, a bridge, a ruined house. Build themselves a fire to get a little warmth. BBC correspondent Robert Barr says that the woods and hills of the Ardennes look like a vast gypsy encampment. This is Richard Hotelet in London, returning you to Admiral in New York.
The British radio says today that the new Greek regent Demosky Nos has received a message from British General Scobie informing him that Athens and Piraeus are now virtually free of leftist forces. And Demosky Nos is said to have expressed his appreciation of what he called General Scobie's unpleasant and painful tasks. The BBC also says that Scobie has invalidated his terms for a truce with the leftists. Originally, the British general asked that all ALOS forces be withdrawn from Athens and that they turn in their arms. However, Scobie now says that new terms for a truce will have to be taken into consideration, and also the fact that both sides have taken many prisoners and no truce can be established before the drawing up of conditions for taking care of prisoners and hostages. More news in just a moment, but first, here is Warren Sweeney with a message from Admiral.
It's a funny thing, but right after Christmas, a lot of us begin thinking about saving money and cutting down on expenses. If you're interested in saving money on foods, you'll want an Admiral dual-temp refrigerator after the war. You'll be amazed at the opportunity it'll offer to actually save money on food costs and yet give you greater food luxury and more conveniences than you've ever known. With your dual-temp refrigerator and its extra space for regular food storage, plus the Admiral built-in home freezer compartment, you'll be able to buy perishable foods at quantity prices and store them to be used as needed. Dual temps proper temperatures for keeping foods over longer periods of time will give you value received for every food dollar you spend. You get the added advantage of the Admiral Sterilamp 2, which reduces loss by spoilage and mold. Your Admiral Dual Temp refrigerator will pay for itself with the money it'll save on your family's food bill. If you want to give your budget a break, make your post-war electric refrigerator an Admiral Dual Temp, a successor to the ordinary mechanical refrigerator. And remember, only Admiral can build a Dual Temp. Now, here once again is Douglas Edwards. And for an interview with a California PBY pilot, Admiral takes you to CBS Pearl Harbor, Webley Edwards reporting.
One of the greatest factors in keeping the morale of our fighting men high, both on surface ships and in the air, is the knowledge that if they're adrift in the Pacific, every effort will be made to rescue them. The story of Navy Lieutenant J.G. Joe Ball and his PBY mates is a good example. Joe's wife and son, Derwin, live at 613 North Golden Avenue in Fullerton, California. His parents, Mr. and Mrs. E. O. Ball, live at Lamar, Colorado. What makes his story so surprising is that he loaded 56 survivors into his PBY rescue plane and flew them back to safety. Will you tell us about it, Lieutenant Ball?
Well, there were five PBY crews in this rescue. We've done this kind of work all the way from New Guinea to the Philippines. We get the word that a plane is down or a ship has been sunk, and we take off and look for them.
Leaving from Skyline Station, enhancing lines. Empowering labor and engaging leaders. Now, we're going somewhere.
Boom, 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 boom.